We want God to vindicate those who do His will. And so Jesus gives us this beatitude tonight to replace our cynicism. To replace our cynicism. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you always drive the speed limit. What's the big deal? It doesn't matter if you pay all your taxes or not. What's the big deal? It doesn't matter if you live with your nose clean, scrupulously in every area. What? Who cares? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, says Jesus. Who are they? They're those who long not only for God's righteousness to be displayed, but they long for personal righteousness. They long for personal righteousness. They refuse to play off love against the law. They refuse, for example, to fall in love with an unbeliever because they know God's word prohibits that, and they know as well they will be blessed when they say no and they turn their back on that option and on that choice. These are those who are committed to following the norms, the standards, the principles of God's word, in contrast to feeling. Oh, we could say a lot about that, how our generation, our age is driven by feelings, experiences. I don't know much by experience or observation about the drug culture in our world today. But this I surmise from my reading and study that what the drug culture craves is simply an impulse and a commitment of the broader culture at large. And that is this, that we may be delighted, that we may be satisfied simply and only through our experience of something. And if something feels good, if it makes us feel good, it must be right. To that, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We refuse to play love off against the law. We also refuse to play off the Holy Spirit against the Word of God. We refuse to appeal to the Holy Spirit for guidance, for impulses, and for reflexes, when we know better in terms of God's Word. The Holy Spirit, boys and girls, never goes against God's Word. In fact, the Holy Spirit gave us God's Word. Why would He tell us, reveal to us, suggest to us that we may do something against God's Word? All of what I'm saying tonight sounds, doesn't it, like legalism? Legalism? Here's the difference. Legalism is obedience to the law of God as an end in itself, hoping thereby to obtain favor. Boys and girls, you know the difference. I know you do. It's the difference between loving and obeying mom and dad from the heart and doing what they say simply because they're stronger than you. Legalism grows up in our homes, in our families, in our relationships, mom and dad. Legalism grows up when we allow our children to perform outwardly without investigating, without questioning, without nurturing that inward attitude of love which has to undergird obedience. If we don't learn that lesson when we're young, then when we're older, we come to church because we have to. We pay our budget because we have to. We don't do certain things or we do certain other things merely because we have to. I would say that's legalism. I don't believe it's legalistic to pray three times a day. At every meal. I don't believe it's legalistic to pay our obligated taxes to the penny. I don't believe it's legalistic to insist that our teenagers be home, perhaps appropriately, at 10:30 p.m. That's not legalistic. What's legalistic is if we do all of these things to maintain an outward show. To maintain an outward show. Who are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? Those who long. Who long for the renewal of biblical black and whites. Who are sick of the dull grays of shifting morality. Second question, why are they blessed? Jesus says in the Beatitude, they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. Now I'd like you to notice something here about the verb tense. You notice it's a future tense, as we saw this morning, so tonight. But here's the paradox. It is a present reality, this filling, this satisfaction is a present reality with a future completion. Our hungering and thirsting for righteousness is relieved by the gospel. On the one hand, God gives to every one of His children His own righteousness. He credits the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us. We call that justification. He works His righteousness in us by the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. We call that sanctification. You can't get away from the notion of righteousness in the Christian life. That's part of the gospel. That's part of being satisfied. That at the when we say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God through His Spirit and Word communicates to our consciences that all of our sins have been removed and forgiven. And that in place of our debt comes Christ's performance and righteousness. We are righteous in Christ. But here's the paradox. Only to be hungry again. And again. And again. I hope you're not tired of the fact that in our biblical expression of the Christian religion, the law plays such an important part. Why? To make us hungry and thirsty again. Why? Just so we can walk around with our tongues hanging out? No! Because then the law leads us then to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the thirst-quenching water of life and the hunger-quenching bread of life. I say the paradox is this. That our satisfaction isn't a once-off deal. Our being filled isn't a one-time deal. It's again and again and again. There is part of the paradox. And as we grow in the faith, as we grow in holiness and make progress, we grow in righteousness. You've heard it said there's no rest for the wicked. I think the Beatitude teaches us there's no rest for the righteous. Because the more we taste the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the less convinced we are of our own righteousness, and the more we sense our continuing need for His righteousness. And so the Apostle Paul puts it this way, we go on from grace to grace. That's what the Lord's table is all about. Next Lord's Day, we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we go on from table to table, from one Lord's Supper to the next Lord's Supper, because God's Word creates and regenerates this hungering and thirsting, which can only be satisfied again and again and again in Jesus Christ. So notice the future tense, but notice also, I'm sorry to be giving so many English lessons here tonight, but this is important. Notice the passive voice. You will be filled. You will be satisfied. It doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall fill themselves. They shall satisfy themselves. No, you will be filled and be satisfied. You see, here's the difference, brothers and sisters, between the church's righteousness and the Pharisees' righteousness. The church's righteousness is a gift. The Pharisees' righteousness is an acquisition. I've got it coming to me. I paid for it with my obedience and conformity to the law. Our holiness is given, not earned. We may and must pursue holiness. We have to work at it. We have to strive for it. We have to fight for holiness in our world today. But when it becomes ours, there's no place for trophies. There's no room for self-congratulation. No ribbon ceremony. Because it's a gift of grace. And there's the blessing. You wonder, if you're like me, if you're like Christians who have sensitive souls and consciences, am I making any progress in this Christian life? As I look back over years of experience in the church, walking with the Lord, surrounded by Christians, am I making any progress in the Christian life? Well, the only progress we can register, brothers and sisters, are not marks on a scale, like when children grow up, you know, you set the marks on the wall by the refrigerator, and this year there may be an inch or a half inch taller than last year. That's not the Christian life. That's not how we measure growth. We measure growth in the Christian life, I think, by looking into the mirror. Not to see ourselves, but to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, these are some diagnostic questions. Do your sins bother you more now than they did 20 years ago? Do your unfettered reactions, responses, reflexes, do your old clinging habits continue to grieve your soul? Then you are among those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because God's Word is doing its work, creating in you not only the despair, not only the distress and the disgust that you haven't fled, you haven't forsaken, you haven't shucked those old ways completely yet, but it also, God's Word also gives to you the answer. You will be satisfied. Your righteousness is in Christ. Your holiness comes from Him. It's a gift. Strive, pray, fight, work. Receive. Receive the gift. All of this then keeps us from pride in our own progress. So Christ gives us tonight the answer to one of life's most haunting questions about swimming against the moral current of our day. And He gives us the answer of this beatitude. If you wonder tonight, as a parent seeking to raise your teenagers in a way that walks carefully and closely according to God's Word, if you're wondering tonight whether it's worth it staying married, if you're wondering tonight whether all of your integrity, all of your scrupulosity at work with your colleagues and co-laborers is worth anything in the eyes of God, then here's the answer. Blessed, fortunate are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because their consciences won't keep them awake at night. Because they'll not go through life looking over their shoulder, wondering who next is going to get them. They need not worry about what others say. Not because we're righteous in ourselves, but because the Word of God, the law, is our delight, our food, our lamp, our sword, Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you again that we might